Lord Jesus Christ. And I know a lot of people think that you either have to believe in science or you believe in God, one or the other. So you either have faith, you know, religion, faith, God, or you believe in science. And so most people will say, well, I'll believe in science because that's what I can see. But actually, science points to God. And so the next time you talk to an atheist who says they just believe in science, say, but one of the axioms of science is something cannot come from nothing. That's an axiom of science. Just like E equals MC squared, or the laws of gravity and laws of motion and things like that. Something cannot come from nothing. Are my five senses deceiving me when I see this candle, when I touch this book? No. This is real. There are material things. Every material thing has a beginning. Every material thing. So somehow this universe also had a beginning. Something cannot come from nothing. All scientists have to believe that. So that means there has to be a God. There has to be an uncreated being who's pretty big guy, pretty smart guy, pretty strong guy, who could bring something out of existence, out of nothing. Otherwise, the material universe would be eternal. And it can't be. Because all material things have a beginning. So always remind atheists of that. Science points to God. Science says all things have a beginning. There has to be an uncreated being who brought it into existence. However, he did that. So we all need to be theists, believing in God. And now today we celebrate Jesus as that God. King of the universe. How big actually is the universe? It just boggles your mind. We measure things at the speed of light, right? That's what we measure. Things cannot go faster than the speed of light. And that's 186,000 miles a second. Okay? It's 25,000 miles around the Earth. So, Well, who's the fastest runner here? Okay, come on up. Yeah. And you're just going to start here. Okay, there we go. You got a fast runner. And I'm going to stand here. And you're going to take off at the speed of light. How long would it take you to get around the Earth? I could not turn around fast enough. And you would already be there. In fact, you would go around the Earth in literally the blink of an eye. It's 0.13 seconds, about a tenth of a second. So at the speed of light, you would go around the Earth in 1 second, 7.5 times. So if I'm standing here, well, let's say I'm standing this way and you take off that way, you would go by me 7 times and in 1 second. 1001. 7 times you would have gone around the Earth. That's 186,000 miles a second. Even going that amazingly fast, it'll still take you 8 minutes to get to the sun. The nearest star to the Earth takes you 8 minutes at the speed of light. What if you wanted to try to get out of the Milky Way? That's our galaxy, right? If you wanted to escape the Milky Way from the Earth, it would take you 200 light years. That's a year at the speed of light. 200 light years at the speed of light. Just to get from the Earth out of the Milky Way. Do you know how long it takes to go across the Milky Way? 100,000 light years. And you just start to go, no way. That's just too stupid big. And just to get to the next galaxy, which is the Andromeda, and then I think it's Triangulum is after that. the nearest galaxy to us is 2.2 million miles. Light years. Excuse me. 2.2 million light years to get to the next galaxy. And by the way, there are a trillion galaxies beyond that. And so you just kind of go, no, stop. It's hurting. It's hurting my brain. And that's why I said a while back that if you take all the grains of sand in the world and one cup of sand is a million pieces of sand in one cup, take all the sands of the beaches and the deserts of the earth, there are many more planets and stars out there. And Jesus Christ is the King of all of them. God is not in the universe. You will never find God out there somewhere. God is not apart. Jesus Christ is not a part of the universe. Jesus Christ, God, is outside the universe. He is also immanent. He's in the universe. He sustains all things in the palm of His hand. All the trillions of galaxies, Jesus Christ holds them in the palm of His hand by His will alone. That's what it means in that second reading. Through Him all things were created. He is the image of the invisible God. He sustains all things in being. The only reason the trillions of galaxies even are still there is because He's holding them in existence. All of the laws of physics that we're talking about, Jesus Christ established them. We're just discovering them. He holds them all in existence. The only reason I'm breathing and speaking to you right now is because He's thinking about each one of us, holding us into existence. He is the creator of all things, and He sustains all things. And He came here as our Redeemer. And that's why that gospel was Him on the cross. I mean, can you imagine? First of all, I don't even know how He found us. You know, how did you find us? We're hanging. We are a speck of a speck of a speck. We are nothing. How can we have any pride and arrogance, thinking that we're smart stuff, that we know something? No, we are nothing compared to the God of the universe, to Jesus Christ. And He came here. He came here. He said, yeah, because as far as we know, the rest of the universe, it reflects my beauty. It reflects me. That's why you guys love looking at the stars. I made them just for you, so you could admire them. That's why you love the sunrise and the sunset and the full moons, because they reflect me, but they don't participate in my life. I breathed into you, my divine life. But you broke relationship with me. So that's why I had to come. That's why I came to your planet, for you. You are my prized possession. But you are also the prized possession of my enemy, Satan. He wants you too. He wants you in hell with him for all eternity. I want you in heaven with me for all eternity, but that's up to you. So I'm coming to die for you on the cross. And you can kind of see where if the size of the universe blows your mind, God, the God of the universe becoming a human, that should blow your mind too. Well, that's kind of... And not only that, but this is the kind of king you are? You die on a cross? Yeah. Yeah, because that's love. Because God is love. That's what the God of the universe does. Love is willing to die for the person it loves, for the people it loves. And that's what I'm doing. So that you could be in my kingdom. You could come to me. I can forgive you your sin. But that's your choice. You got to decide if you're going to live for me or if you're going to continue living for yourself. I'm telling you that you live in a broken exile. You live in a broken world, and I'm here to bring you back, to heal you. But you have to admit your brokenness, and you have to come to me, and then we can start that healing process. I can do all things, but I need your cooperation as your God. So all eyes of heaven are on you, on each one of you, my children. I would have died if you had been the only person on earth. I would have died for you. All the angels, all the saints, all of our eyes are on you. You are our prized possession, and we're trying to bring you back. And it seems like the harder they try to follow us, the more we run away. It's like we're trying to get to Mars now. Are we still trying to get to Mars? Is Elon Musk trying to get to Mars? I'm saving up my money so I can go with him. We're trying to get to the moon. We're trying to get to Mars. Because we think, well, at some point, you know, the robots that Elon Musk is creating, they're going to destroy us at some point. So I think he's creating the robots that are going to destroy us. So he's also creating a place on Mars where we can all go when his robots come to kill us. I think that's how it works. And that had nothing to do with my homily. So he is the king. And he says, I'm giving you my church to guide you, to teach you the truth. Okay? He says, Father Chuck's not going to be perfect, but he'll teach you correctly. Okay? The Pope, the bishops, we're not always perfect because we're human beings. But we will teach correctly if we believe what the church teaches. And the Pope it doesn't mean he's perfect, but it means he will teach us correctly because Christ's church is guided by the Holy Spirit. And I can't believe that Jesus would become so small to become a man and then die for us. And now the church teaches that he becomes even smaller than that. Piece of bread and a drop of wine. That is the God of the universe. Body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ bilocates from heaven, from the fourth dimension. We're in these three dimensions, height, width, and depth, time and space. There, heaven's just the fourth dimension. He stays in heaven with everyone and then bilocates and comes here. He can enter each one of us through his Holy Spirit if we invite him in. And then he says, but my glorified body, blood, soul, and divinity, it's going to enter into each host. And he does it through me. Amazing. We should have millions of priests running around the world if we really understood what is actually happening. The God of the universe is coming in the form of bread and wine. And that's why we say we have to be worthy. We purify ourselves, right? And we receive that Eucharist with great love, with great reverence. That is my Lord and my God. And then I just wanted to finish. This is kind of like two homilies in one because the Pope's intention, Pope Leo's intention for this month is for all those who are struggling with suicidal thoughts. Here's what he says. Let us pray that those who are struggling with suicidal thoughts might find the support, care, and love they need in their community and be open to the beauty of life. And I thought, well, when can I talk about that? I wanted to talk about it at some point. So I thought, well, is Jesus actually the Lord of mental illness? Mm-hmm. He's the Lord of everything. And I'm grateful that we are talking now more about mental illness and the struggles that we go through. Anxiety, depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, post-traumatic stress syndrome, antisocial behaviors, phobias, attention deficit is also narcissism, eating disorders, addictions. There are all kinds of disorders that we suffer from. And sometimes we bring those things upon ourselves. And then other times we don't. We receive them from our genetics. And that happened to my uncle. And he committed suicide when he was in his 40s. And back then, you didn't talk about that in families, right? You don't know. We don't want a black mark on our family. We don't talk about Uncle Herm. I didn't even know. I just knew he wasn't there anymore as a kid. And then later on, my mom said, well, he hung himself. And I said, why did he do that? And she said, because he was depressed. He suffered from depression. And she said, I think he got it from your grandma, from my mom, because my mom would go through, like, I think she was bipolar, because sometimes she would just be fine and happy and everything else. And then the next day, it's like a switch would happen. She would be a totally different person. They would be fighting so much, my mom and dad, that sometimes my mom had to go live somewhere else for a few weeks, and then she would come back. And back then, they didn't have medicine. They didn't have medications to help. They didn't have counselors, right, to go to help when you would go down. You would go down, and sometimes you wouldn't come back up. And so she never took her life, but my Uncle Herm, so he inherited it, I think, from her. And so I'm so grateful now that people are talking about it and that there's help. There's more help for mental illness and the struggles we go through. What was her name, the famous American gymnast that she withdrew from the Olympics? Simone Biles. And remember, she was practicing for the Olympics and she realized that she was under so much stress and anxiety as being the favored one to win the gold that in her practice routines, her brain was not working right. And she actually, in a flip, she fell. And she said, "This is not good. This is dangerous. For I may hurt myself." So she actually withdrew from the competition in order to protect her own mental health. Remember Michael Phelps, you know, the famous swimmer? He said he struggles with depression because he would say, "You're just so psyched up for the Olympics, you know, and then in 2 minutes, it's over." He said, "You swim for 2 minutes, win or lose, even if you win." He says, "Then I would go home after the Olympics and I would just feel nothing, completely empty, so depressed, like not wanting to live, not wanting to live." So there are different reasons that it can happen. Struggling. So I'm glad that we're addressing it. We had a priest last year who took his life. And so even though you're in grace and receiving the sacrament, you're still a human being and you can suffer, struggle. So he was struggling with depression and he took his life one time. And the other priests were doing their best to help him. And they were saying, you know, "You're spending too much time in your room. Your door is closed. You're not sharing. You're not talking. We have help. There are ways we can have help." "No, I'm okay. I'm okay." And then he wasn't okay. And he took his life. Sometimes what people do is that you think they're going to take their life when they're down. But sometimes they don't. They can, but oftentimes they feel too weak to take their life at that point. And then they start to get better. They feel stronger. And so you think they're okay. They're doing better. But actually what they're thinking is, "I'm strong enough now. I can take my life now because I'm going to go back down and I don't want to go back down, so I'll do it now." That can happen as well. Most of the time, most families have done their best, but the person is they're hiding. And so the family, so don't feel too guilty if you have someone who has done that, taken their life. How can we help prevent mental illness? How can we help prevent suicide? Number one is the healthier that human beings are raised, the environment that you're raised in, that's going to help an awful lot. Yes, you can still inherit mental illness from your parents and things like that, from your bloodline, but the healthier that we are, and the healthiest is you have one mom and one dad who love each other and respect each other. And then they conceive children. And those children know, "That's my dad. That's my mom." And their mom, children need to be loved. They need to be protected. They need to feel secure. And then they're happy. They're comfortable. Parents need to let their kids express themselves and be comfortable expressing their feelings. I was not comfortable expressing my feelings. When I was growing up as a kid, I don't talk to mom and dad about that, how I'm feeling. So you just bottle it all up. So I hope that parents would say to their kids, "We want you to be able to tell us anything. And we're not gonna bonk you. We're not going to get mad at you. You know, tell us what's going on. You're mad, you're frustrated, this or that." And so to create that environment. And all of you know that if you were raised if you're in an environment where you don't have mom or you don't have dad or dad and mom are not protecting you, or they're putting you down or making fun of you, they're not standing up for you, whatever, then you will become mentally ill. You'll become dysfunctional. And almost always, I taught high school for 4 years down in Sacramento, almost always when we had problems with a student, that they weren't having problems and then now they are, it was problems at home. Something was going on in their family and that was affecting them. So the healthier that we can raise people in, no drugs, no drunkenness, no cursing, no yelling, no bad music, no toxic things, no bad television and video games and, you know, toxic things. If there are no, we need an 11th commandment. I always wish God had an 11th commandment. Do you remember Mel Brooks? He was the comedian, and he created a funny movie called The Ten Commandments, and he has Moses coming down the hill. And he said, I bring you all these 15 commandments, and then he trips. And he picks up the pieces, and he goes, I bring to you these 10 commandments. That's all. But I've always wished there should be an 11th commandment. Thou shalt go camping. For 1 month, every human being, thou shalt go camping. 1 month every year. You can bring your trailer, but that's it. Some people say, no, camping is tents. I say, no, I'll let you bring your trailer, but not your television, and not your computer, and not your cell phone. You're going to bring a deck of cards. You're going to bring your cribbage board. You know, you're going to bring your Monopoly. You're going to bring your fishing poles. Ladies, you're not going to bring your whole makeup kit because you're not going to need it. We're camping. You're going to comb your hair. You just put on your shirt, your cap. That's all you put on your cap. There, your hair is perfect. That's what you do when you camp, right? And you live at a slower pace. And you start a fire. And you tell stories. And you sing campfire songs. And you have marshmallows. And then you go out in the morning and it's cold and you get your cup of coffee. And it's great. And all of a sudden your kids are playing with the other kids and riding their bikes with the other kids in the, around the campground. And you're trusting each other. You're trusting each other. And they're out fishing. And all of a sudden things just kind of relax. And you start to realize, oh, maybe this is kind of how God intended human beings to live. And maybe we've just kind of created an environment that just doesn't let us flourish. It's too toxic, too much cement, too fast, too much technology. I'm trying to detach from technology. That's one of my commitments for Advent. I would encourage you to make that commitment too. I'm going to detach from social media. I'm not going to do the YouTube videos. I'm only going to use my cell phone and my computer to do my work, right? I'll return your phone calls and your texts, you know, to do my work that I have to do with you. So that would really help as far as mental illness, suicides, and things, because if kids are happy, we were blessed to grow up in basically a happy family. It wasn't perfect, but basically happy. I never thought about suicide. I never thought, as I was growing up, about killing myself, not even once. And now you hear that a lot in kids, right? Young people, they think about not wanting to live. And so the ambiance that we're in, the environment. And then I would say lastly is that what do you do with someone who inherited it and is struggling with mental illness? And I know a young man, and I know his family, his extended family, and he inherited bipolar and some schizophrenia through his mother's line. And so he's on medication, and he was saying to me, you know, I look at my cousins, and all my cousins, they're smoking pot, and they're going to parties, and they're having a great time. And I said to him, yeah, but as I look at your cousins and I look at you, which one of you loves God? You're the only one of all your cousins that I know who love God. Because he was going to Mass on Sundays and during the week. He was going to Bible studies during the week. He was going to his 12-step programs to stay healthy. And I said, you are a saint. You are God's prized possession. He's so happy with you. And he says, yeah, but why does he make me carry this? Why do I have to struggle? And he said, it's one of two reasons. He can take it away from you, and maybe he will. Maybe he will, and he'll heal you, because he can do that, and he does do that, but not with most people. So if he chooses to leave you with that mental illness that you may struggle with your whole life, he will never leave you. So you have to let him struggle with you in it. When you go down, Jesus, you're down here with me. Pull me through. Don't let go of me. Bring me back up. And he will. He will. And then you will have the hope. Because all suffering has two purposes. Jesus is using it to keep you close to him. And that's what it's doing. You are a saint. You're already living in heaven. He is so happy with you. You are his prized possession. And he's using your suffering to help to save your cousins, because they're going the wrong direction. Who's going to save them? It's going to be people like you and me who pick up our cross and say, Jesus, if you don't choose to take this away from me, I will carry it. You stay with me, and I will offer it to you because I love you for my cousins, for whoever, for my mom and dad who divorced, you know, whatever it is. And Jesus says, that's what I do with all suffering. And so I think that when I hear about people like Robin Williams who takes this life, you know, because his Alzheimer's was kicking in or something like that, mental illness, I would say, oh, Robin, if you had only known, you could have turned to the Lord. You could have turned to the Lord. He would have walked with you through that. He would have used it for you and for your family and for the whole world. So don't give up. Don't give up. There's purpose in all of it. So we have this king, this amazing king of the universe, who loves us so much that he's willing to find us amidst the trillions of galaxies that are out there and just say, I'm here with open arms. Come to me. I believe